Welcome to the Forward Marketing Podcast, the podcast that covers internet marketing strategies and leadership tactics to move your business forward with your host, Joshua Jarvis. Welcome back to Forward Marketing Podcast. That's the number four, RD Marketing. And I am your host, of course, Joshua Jarvis, here with another exciting episode. And last week we covered growth hacking, and I probably had the most fun I've had in a long time just going over all the different growth hacking techniques, as well as just listing out sort of the fun ways that we can take something that maybe was meant to be used one way and use it in another way. Like recently this week, I was using Google Sheets to collect information to be used in email marketing. So pretty excited about that. But today we have a special guest with us. It is Robert Endres. He is the CMO of DG Studios, which is a digital marketing studio that sort of specializes in developing apps, and as well as apparently hosting events. Now, Robert, he was born in Transylvania, and you'll hear no Dracula jokes from me in this episode other than that one. Robert has earned a BA in civil engineering and an MA in IT project management. This guy knows his stuff. You get to hear his story of how he started on a sort of a rural area in Romania and ended up having his own software company and selling that. And so this guy has been successful. Do not let his humbleness sort of fool you. And so he's got over a decade of experience. Robert generates over $20 million in leads yearly for his clients. And so that obviously he's been tracking this. And his ideal client, which you hear at the end, is sort of these the businesses that need apps or that are moving forward in that area. So it's kind of interesting to hear his perspective, considering that he does essentially what we do at Forward Marketing, but he does it for a different clientele, so it's a little bit more specialized. So he's hired and he's trained over 100 personnel for both business and nonprofits. In fact, that's one of his areas of specialties, is helping nonprofits. It's one of the reasons why I loved the company. The founder and Robert both have a real heart for nonprofits, and that's how we got connected. So, but during his career, the teams he's managed and business he's grown has won different awards. He's been featured in magazines, newspapers. He's wrote a book. He's been on national television. He is sort of a little mini Elon Musk, if you will, of that side of the world. And so I think you're going to really get a lot out of listening to today's episode. And I would love to hear your feedback at joshua@forwardmarketing.com. But without further ado, here is Robert. I'm so excited to have Robert here with me. And Robert, I just introduced you, but give the listeners a little taste of your story.
Yes, sure. Thanks so much for having me, Jarvis. Well, basically, as you said, I was born in Transylvania. I was born in a very small town. I think like maybe 2,000 people around. So I was raised there with, you know, the cattle, the chickens, everything, like working the land, all of that good stuff.
Oh, wow.
And after that, when I was a bit older, like right before high school, I got my first computer. And of course, I was fascinated by it. And then, I mean, my family got a computer, you know, not even me, like my entire family got one computer. And then I would just be on that as much as I could in between whatever else I was doing. And I got a taste for that. I went into engineering, high school. Then I kept doing that, and then I kept doing that up until college, where I started getting these like very horrible migraines. So it got so bad at one point that I would literally wake up with migraines.
Wow.
And I attributed that to thinking so much, right? I would literally wake up at 3 a.m. and like, I know how to solve that, right? So I would just hop on my computer and just fix, like, I was building software for like factories and plants and like a bunch of stuff. And I was like, what, 16, 17. So,
oh, wow.
Like a lot of thought went into those things. And then because of that, so I started getting the migraines. I couldn't do that anymore. And then I went into sales and marketing. So that was a turn of events in my life, very, very drastic. But that did lead me to find out that I was quite good with regards to talking with people, with regards to being authentic, finding if there is a real need. And if not, then just saying, hey, look, I understand there's not a need. Let's talk about something else, right? Let me not bash this into you, even though I clearly see you don't need my service or my product. So I did that. I learned the fundamentals of that. And from there started my first business that went very, very well.
What was sold that business? That.
The very first one was software. So I was building software still, but like part-time, not so much, not so intense. And I got some people around that. And after that, I started going into other ventures. And one of them is DG Studio. So that's where I am right now.
Nice, nice. So what was that first computer? Was it, I remember my first computer was a, I think it was a 486 and, you know, it had the, you know, you only had the prompt. You didn't have, you know, any graphical interface or anything. And, we got a printer one time and I remember thinking that was the coolest thing ever. And it had those little tabs on the side of it. What was your first computer?
So just so you get an idea, Transylvania is now more or less caught up with the first world. So we almost anything you find in America, Germany, whatever you can find in Romania, of course not as much. It's still a developing country, but tens of years ago it was way behind. So basically, when I got my first computer, it was already something that Americans have witnessed maybe 10 or 20 years before that, right?
Oh, wow.
So I got my first computer. It was, if I remember correctly, I can't remember the specs because it was just quite a while ago. But I do remember it was, you know, like the Total Commander type of interface, like a blue with yellow, like you would just move things from left to right. That was almost everything. And like you would literally like have the files, you could write in them, so you could do all of that. It was quite interesting. And then you started, and you had like the disks, the floppy disks.
Oh, right.
And that had like 2 mega or less than 2 megabytes each, or I can't remember. And they would constantly go bad. As in you would put something on it, and 1 week after, you wouldn't have anything on that, right?
Because it was just, I remember that.
It would just break. And oh no. And then eventually we had CDs, compact disc, like, wow, this is how many? This is like 50 floppy disks in one. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe that. So I was part of all of those, you know, shocks. And I loved that. I loved everything about technology. And I was wondering constantly, how can you fit so much data into one disk? And I was like, look with the microscope. Where is the data? Like, I can't believe it. Where is it? Like, it's beautiful. Like, you know, like childish curiosity.
No, that's great. That's great. I think that's what's required for you to really be successful in this industry is really to have that curiosity a lot of times. Yeah. So did the migraines ever go away?
So interestingly enough, they did go away, but not fully. So I kept having migraines up until I think, a few years ago. So I had migraines for over 8 years, more or less. And end up happening was I started studying a lot of health, because not only that, but something else that happened to me was I broke my feet and various other parts of my body over a dozen times. Mm. So just my feet were, and my legs, sorry, were like in gypsum over like, no, 10 times. No, yeah, 10 times, because this year it also broke again. But it was very interesting because before this one, I had like a place of, I think maybe 4 or 5 years in which I didn't break anything. And much of that I attribute to my passion that of studying health and how to have the correct posture, how to be structurally sound, how to be healthy, how to not have the migraines, right? And all of that. I ended up at one point actually writing a book on health and sold that in like 4 countries. So it was like, if I'm passionate about it, I'm going to do it and go beyond, right?
No, that's great.
What people would expect of that.
Yeah. So you're, I keep wanting to ask all these other questions and, So how did you break those bones? I'm just curious.
I was in various sports.
Okay.
So I played in my city soccer team, in my school's handball team. I played basketball. I played tennis. I was an athlete at one point, a marathon runner. Various things, like I can't even remember. Wow. Like a lot of sports.
It's really rare to find. I mean, I guess that's why you're maybe such a good CMO, but it's rare to find someone that can handle the sales, can handle the technology, but has such a well-rounded background. I mean, you had a, it sounds like a farm, a rural upbringing, but yet you had the technology. It's really rare to have all those things. And so that, I mean, that's probably the reason why you're doing so well, is that you're, I mean, you're able to relate probably to pretty much everybody because of your experience.
Yeah, I did find that helpful. You nailed that one.
So, you know, our listeners usually listen in, they're wanting some sort of, you know, lead generation, something to grow their business. The name of a podcast is Forward Marketing. And so the whole idea is, like, you know, growth, or like even last week we covered growth hacking. And so, you know, obviously you wouldn't be on here unless you had some sort of lead generation strategy. So, so take it away. Tell us what you brought to the table today.
Yeah. So we've been doing marketing. So DG Studio has been doing marketing and like websites and apps and mobile apps, platforms, etc. for a bunch of time now. And we have dozens of people working, and we do, like, imagine that we're tech savvy, like everyone's tech savvy, and we use social media and we use email and we use LinkedIn, every single thing under the book, right? For ourselves and for our clients. And it's bringing in, for us, it's bringing in a lot of leads, and for everyone we work with, and depends on the medium. But something we see more and more, and I highly recommend this, and it is something that we started doing late last year or mid last year, and now we're doing it like religiously, so every single month, is events. Because people, in an age where everyone's connected, where everyone's getting spam emails and notifications and cold calls and everything, all of those work, right? So every single channel is useful in a specific context. But something we noticed is that the more and more people get things like that, the more open and the more pleasing it is for them to actually meet someone in person, right? At an event, for example. Right. So what we do now is every month we have at least one, if not two, events we go to, right? So, and the main thing here is that, and we do this for our clients as well. So we help our clients either organize events or go to them, right? We help them pick them. We help them follow up with the leads that were there, or we talk to the organizers, maybe get the list of participants, et cetera, things like that, right? So we do all of that, but at the same time, when we get there, before we actually get there, we make sure of one thing, that our target audience is there. So the main mistake we see people make is that they go to events and they say, they hear about events as a lead generation channel, which it is, but then they go to events in their industry, which is, I mean, I don't want to be like insultive of anyone, but literally you need to be a bit smarter than that. You need to think a bit deeper than that and focus. Look, why do you want to go to an event, right? If you want to meet people within their industry, fine, then do that and go there. But if you're going to use it as a lead gen channel, if you're in real estate, right, and you want, how do you call it? You want to sell to people, right? So sell properties to people. You don't go to a real estate event. That's not what you, that's, you'll find other real estate brokers or property owners, lenders, etc. What you want to go to is maybe a golf course, right? So you want to go to an event on golf or an event on something else that you know your clients will be there. And the best way to figure that one out is to ask them directly. So if you're already in business for a while and you have a dozen clients or thousands of clients, right, depending on the industry, you can just call half a dozen of them and say, hey, have you ever been or have you been to any events in the past 6 months? And they say, no. Okay, fine. That might not be a good channel for me. Or you keep on trying. And if that's not a good question, you can say, okay, what interests do you have? Because they might not think of events as events. And this is very important. So, for example, if I play golf, again, just rolling out that example, if I play golf, and I go every month to like the reunion of all of the golfers in my city, I don't see that as an event, right? I see that as a social gathering. So people might not make the connection. So you can ask them, what is something that's of interest to you? And then they can tell you, well, jet skiing, right? Not everyone can afford jet skiing. So if you sell something that's expensive, you might want to talk to those guys. Or if you sell boots, right? For example, what type of boots are there? Are they boots that, how do you call it? They're for like people that go mountain climbing, right? Then what you would do is maybe you would go to an event at, an urban wall, you know? There are like many of these walls that you can like climb on, you know? So maybe those guys are organizing an event 2 months from now. Make sure you're there. And make sure you actually go once at least and know the people there, know the staff and like climb the wall and whatever. So that next time you go, you already have like the ropes, you know, the ropes. And these are just two random examples.
That's great. I mean, we actually covered an episode a while back about networking, and I'm a firm believer in networking. And I think it's all about the intentionality behind it. So if you're, I mean, even in your example, I think there's business to be had from other, like I actually get a fair amount of business from other digital marketing agencies where they, you know, maybe they can't take a client, or maybe I have a specialty in an industry that they don't. And so they'll refer me the business. And so it's, you know, it's a good opportunity, but you're right. I mean, you don't typically go where your competitors are in order to generate business. So if this is a lead generation strategy, yeah, absolutely go where your target audience. I like that. You host events for your clients. Tell me a little bit more about that. Like, so let's say I have, I imagine you figure out what the target audience is and then host an event. I mean, how does that work?
Well, it depends. So let me take it this way. So number one, the fact that we're talking about events doesn't mean that there aren't other channels that might be more profitable for you, that might be very helpful. For example, we noticed that many not young businesses, because young businesses are already in the mindset that I need a website, right? They're already there. They know they need a website. And if you're in business and you're dealing with customers, you have to have one, right? You can't just not have one or like have something in maintenance mode or coming soon. Just put something on there, right? And even if it's very small, because for example, just very, very specific example here before I move on. We are not cheap as a development agency, right? Depending on the complexity of the projects, it's between 95 and 150 bucks an hour. But for example, we can build a website in a quarter of the time that someone else can, right? Or things like that, that are much cheaper. The idea here is to not avoid other channels. You should still, because events, you won't go every day to events, right? So I want to be very clear on that. You should have a website, you should do maybe email marketing, maybe calling people, maybe sharing flyers if you're selling like food or very like easy to buy things or things like that. With regards to events, so coming back, when we organize, for example, we have, as you said, we have partners that refer us business. And then we work with other partners that we refer business to. So, for example, one digital agency in Mexico wanted to work with us so that we help them come into the US market. And we came up with a strategy around events. And we considered that to be the best ROI. Why? Because he can hold, and he already had all of this because he already did this various times when he came to the US. He can hold seminars on the benefits of nearshoring, right? And then talk about it and like the specifics about it and all of that. So what we ended up doing for them is developing a strategy with regards to three events hosted in three business hubs, for example, San Francisco, right? And then we would make sure to have like the venue, the attendees list, all of that figured out, and what he's going to talk to. He just needs to fly in, hold a seminar, shake hands, talk to people, and then go back, nice. Right? And then with regards to that, what we had to do, part of the contract was to actually bring people to that. So what we had to reach out to was people interested in development, right? In developing software, which is our market as well. And we help people in any industry. We don't believe in competition. We believe that we believe in abundance,
yeah, absolutely.
Right? We believe in there is business to be made here and there. And if I cannot service you as a business, then we're going to recommend you to someone else and so on and so forth. So we believe in all of that. So we're helping this agency and do their thing in the US. And that type of strategy is something that I feel would work tremendously. The other way, on the other perspective, when you're not the one organizing, the best thing you can do is be the speaker, right? If you can be the keynote speaker, even better. But if you're in a panel or something, that's also very important. And you don't need to be like Elon Musk. You can literally just be someone that has very good knowledge and can prove it. And then you can be invited as a speaker.
Oh, nice. So real quick, I've got a question about that. So you host this event in your example. What would that...
Yeah.
You know, I don't need a specific number, but what would that, like, as far as a budget goes, like say I'm listening to this podcast mm-hmm. and I know, like, personally myself, I am not an event planner. And you know, what would that cost? What would I need to budget for that?
Yeah. So, it always depends. It's
of course,
in most cases, depending on, but depending on, what stage you're in, because if you're just starting out, you will probably be better off spending your money on yourself, right? So investing in yourself, learning how to do all of these things, going yourself, like paying the ticket to go to like events and mingling and getting clients, et cetera. In case you already have a business that's flowing and you want to invest in an additional channel, which is, for example, events, then you should look into hiring someone to do it professionally. So for example, for this guy, with regards to the people we needed to reach out to, what we needed to do, what we needed to present for him specifically, it was 8.5K per event. And so he had three events. So that's how 8,500 per event and for three events. So that's how much it was for him. It can be much cheaper. It can be much more expensive. Again, you can't compare an event in like a very small town or rural town to like New York, for example. No,
I think where I like to go with this is having, I really like that sort of actionable intel, so to speak, on this stuff. So if I spend $8,500 on an event, you know, do you remember what his ROI on that was or how many customers he picked up from that?
Mm-hmm. Well, imagine this. Every single person that showed up to the event is a lead by default. They're already interested in what they wouldn't show up. They're already directors, executives. They wouldn't show up if they paid for it, right? So they wouldn't show up if they're not interested. So number one, you have a huge pipeline. And then number two, everyone that would be interested could go with that. The lifetime value of those, we cannot yet determine, right? You don't know how much, because this was B2B. It's very different than B2C where, for example, if you would sell toothpaste, then you would sell that once and then maybe have recurring clients to that. But for us or for them, it's month after month they would make more. I can't remember a specific conversion rate, but they did make the money in literally the
that was kind of my point.
Money back and much more.
I haven't... You know, I don't run events or anything, but I've have some friends at GU and and from what I've like you're this is not what I thought you were going to bring us today, and I'm really excited that you did because it definitely is one of those things where I think people listen to or they research digital marketing, they research all these things online, and they forget that the most powerful way to sell is actually face to face. And so you know, whether and you made a great point, whether it is you know, where your business is taken off and it makes sense for you to host events or whether it means showing up at places where your customers are and getting involved, to the point to where you could even be a speaker. One of the episodes we mentioned, I mentioned these networking groups like BNI and PowerCore and things like that, where, you know, the whole purpose of those groups is to pass referrals. But they are often looking for people to speak at those groups as well. So that's a really small scale of what you're talking about, but it's still one of those things where if you're a small business owner, you could definitely be doing that. Well, I kind of want to switch gears a little bit and ask you a little bit about, I always think that the best learning experience is when something negative sort of happens, or when you fail and you sort of have to take it apart and learn what it is. So what's the biggest mistake that you've learned? And you can make it professional or personal, but just sort of the biggest life lesson. You know, you've only got this, whatever, 30 minutes to talk to someone and on this podcast. And so, you know, what's the biggest life lesson you've learned?
Oh my God.
Now remember, I did send you the questions beforehand. It's funny, but your response is exactly the same as everybody else's. They're like, oh, I forgot about that one.
No. So I think you should look at your questions because they're slightly different. So it's the one I remember specifically is about the challenge.
Well, the biggest mistake you've made and what you learned. That's basically what the question actually says. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good. So with regards to the biggest mistake, so my biggest business mistake that I feel I've learned, which is different than what the biggest lesson I've got, was number one that I was quite successful as a youngster, so to speak. So I had success in high school. I was already selling like software and building it. I made a lot of money. And then I went into sales. I threw my quotas out the window, right? It was just, I was getting like 3 times more, 4 times more every month, right? So I made a ton of money. And then I went into my first business. That was incredibly successful. I sold that. And then I started another business and I was over the moon. I said, I'm invincible. I'm going to nail this. I'm going to do it. And that was probably my biggest mistake, thinking that because I managed to do what I did so far, I'm going to continue having success no matter what area I choose, right? So that was probably my biggest, because, so for example, if someone does real estate all their lives and then they go into apps, maybe it's an app for real estate agents. Maybe it's right in their area especially, but they've never built apps before. And we see this happen because we build apps for people and websites and platforms, etc. We actually have someone within the real estate industry that says they have too many properties in their portfolio and they want to systematize everything, right? So they want like a custom software, like a platform and everything for that. Right. But they've never done that before. It's not safe to assume that because you've had amazing success in real estate or any other part of your life, you're going to have success in this as well. You need to see maybe your skill set isn't the same, or maybe you don't understand the same way. Or if it is, either way, there's a learning curve there, right? So that was my biggest mistake. And I literally lost in that business. I lost all of my money, everything, every dime. And I had quite a good chunk of change stashed away from all of my successes, but I lost every penny up until the point I had to live off less than $10 a day for over a month. And if not, I would either not eat, right, or literally just be on the street. So that was the worst thing that ever happened, like investing all of my time, all of my energy into something that I wasn't competent in, right? So I wanted to do that. And then what I learned from that is obviously what like you can deduce from yourself, that you need to prepare. You can, and people say entrepreneurs are risk takers. Some of them are, and in most cases the bad ones are, but the good ones are always calculated.
Go ahead,
right?
I just had a
conversation with one of our higher ups, right? One person in leadership. And we talked about a business idea that he has and that he might want to go with that and so on. And we have a very open, we have very open communication in our business. But basically he told me about that and said, look, keep your salary and let's work together on this, right? And then they say, oh yeah, we can do that. We can act because we build apps for a living. I mean, come on, we can do that and we can find the resources. We can do all of that, right? So, and he can keep his salary in the meanwhile, and we can spin the other business off if it works and so on. So these are the type of things that you should take into consideration when you're an entrepreneur. You should always make money from somewhere. If right now you're not making money from anywhere, you should increase that. Or if you're not making enough, or if you're feeling, you definitely need to look into, okay, what am I best at? Right? What's my best-selling service? What's, like, you know, the Pareto principle, like my top 20% of what I'm good at, where my best clients are. Do that and just increase your flow from there, right? So, and something I just wanted to make one last point on the events and on marketing in general. So we talked today about events, and I actually wanted to surprise you with that. I'm glad I managed to do that. Our main service offering isn't events, because very few people sign up for that, because it's quite expensive and extensive, right? And you need to prepare a lot. So, for example, if you're selling, again, something smaller, you're not selling big things like for $10,000, $20,000, $100,000, etc. You're selling small things. Facebook marketing might actually be much better for you, right? And that's something we do for clients in general. We do paid ads on Facebook or on Google, or we do content, right? If you sell something that people need a bit of education on, like, for example, nutritional products, right? We have a client that within the protein industry. So that's, we write content for them. So that's another channel, right? Blogging and things like that. So you should definitely consider all of these, and then either do it yourself or hire someone and then forget about that. Just keep track week after week of what they're doing and how it's bringing in leads.
Oh, and that kind of ties back into your mistake that you're talking about, and what you learned from it is that, not necessarily to back down from anything that maybe you have a dream for, but if you don't know the industry, it might make sense to partner up with someone who does, so that you can still get your idea, sort of see it materialize. So, I really appreciate that. How can people find you? After they listen to this podcast, I'm going to put the links obviously in the show notes, but let's just say someone's driving and they're not going to go to the show note page and find that. How can people reach out to you? Yeah. And find you.
Yeah, definitely. So if anyone wants to talk more, or they need help with marketing or development or design, they can reach me or anyone in the company at dgstudio.com. So that's two letters, right? DG and then studio.com. And then you'll see a bunch of things. You can see like our story, work, our thoughts, the team there. And if you click on any page, you'll find like contact forms, and you can get in touch with us, and you can mention my name, Robert. And if you want to talk to me, just say it there. Or if you want to talk with anyone on the team, because we're all competent, right? So anyone on the team can just
Perfect. And then I always like to end with just letting people know sort of what you're looking for. So let's say I had a Rolodex or a contact database of people, and you said, I would like to meet either that kind of person or that particular person. Let's say I had maybe Elon Musk is my best friend, and you said, I would love to have lunch with him. Then, this is your opportunity to tell all the listeners, hey, here's who I'd like to be connected to. And because one of my things in life is I love connecting people to other people. So, what would be a good referral or a good connection for you?
Beautiful, beautiful. So, the best type of things that would be very good referrals for us as a business or for me are people that we can actually have an impact on, right? So if you have a budget, whether it's marketing or tech or whatever, if we can service you and help your business grow as a result of that, that's an incredible feeling for us and our developers, right? Where we can look back and say, oh my God, look at what we've done. That's beautiful. As a specific person, I have many people. I have at least 36 people I would like to meet tomorrow, and I would cancel anything else that I have on the calendar just to meet those people. Maybe in the top one, I don't know who they are because it keeps changing sometimes, but I would definitely like to meet in person, Tony Robbins. Perfect.
And is there a specific, you had asked about the businesses, and I just kind of want to dig one step deeper. Is there a specific type of business that you find that you guys is like your sweet spot?
We do work quite extensively with foundations. So we tend to help foundations a lot. The only issue with foundations many times is that they don't have the budget, as in they can't afford to work with us. The ones that do, like, for example, we've helped the Sri Lanka Foundation, or we've helped schools, universities, etc. So these type of foundations or institutions many times get like funding, you know? So they get, for example, $50,000 and they don't know what to do with it. And they decide to reinvest it, right, into their marketing or their systems. So that's what we do. Something else that works very, very well for us is companies that sell services, right? So, for example, doctors or dentists, or transportation, valet parking, anything that, anything that sells services. That's what we see a lot of, because those people tend to see a lot of ROI also.
Nice. Well, Robert, that's been great having you. And like I said, I will update the show notes with your information and look forward to just reconnecting in the future.
Beautiful. Thanks so much, Jarvis.
Well, I hope you got a lot out of that. I know I certainly did. And as I said, you'll be able to reach out to Robert on there. What's funny is that after the show, after the interview, I talked with Robert and, you know, we talked about that sort of life lesson thing. He's like, hey, my biggest life lesson, my biggest success is actually taking full responsibility for everything that I do. Which I thought, man, I wish I had recorded that, but I didn't. So wanted to share that with you. So hope that you enjoyed this episode. We talked about event marketing and some other things as well. But if you are a business that is growing, think about ways that you can create events for your customers. This is a way to get in front of them face-to-face and a way to build that relationship as well as attract other customers to your event, to your business. So I certainly didn't think that we were going to go that route, but I am glad we did, because I definitely think it opens up our mind a little bit to that. So be sure to tune in next week on Forward Marketing Podcast as we cover another lead generation technique, another growth hacking technique, or just more fun things for your business. And as always, you can find us online at forwardmarketing.com. And if you love this podcast, please think about leaving us a nice review on iTunes or sharing it with your friends. And don't forget, if you are listening to this and you're not getting our weekly email with the show notes, then you are missing out. And so please head over to forwardmarketing.com and just add your email to the marketing list, and we will be emailing you once a week every time we release a new podcast. So thanks so much for listening, and make it a great day.